Wow. New update on the James Comey story. He was here in LA, as I told you guys earlier. He was at a recruiting event trying to recruit more FBI agents. So clearly was not aware of what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. He learned of his firing as he addressed FBI employees in LA. TV screens in the background flashed news of his firing. Letter was then given to the FBI, according to Michael Schmidt of the New York Times. So he's being fired in the background as he's talking to people in LA.
What would you do in that scenario? Let's have a little fun with this story, right?
Well,
oh my God. It would be like you firing me as I'm in the middle of doing the show.
Well, that would be a bad idea.
That'd be a terrible idea. I'd be like, yeah, well, okay, then I'm walking off and not calmly.
No, worse yet, you would stay on.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something about Cenk.
So that's why, like, when Tamron Hall left NBC, they knew that it was not amicable because they didn't let her say goodbye to the audience.
Oh.
Okay. Now, if you remember when Ann Curry, mm-hmm. When she was doing a send off, she did a tiny snide comment, mm-hmm. and that was considered like, oh my God, why did they let her on camera where she was able to make that comment? What a disaster by NBC. How could they have made such a faux pas? Like, oh my God, just shut the fuck up. Like, you guys are so unbearable. Like, that was oh my God, it was an unscripted moment for 2.5 seconds on television. Somebody was real for a second. You know, send the TV police after them. So they don't do that. And so that's why they would consider it like a horrible. In fact, I'm going to tell a story about Greta Van Susteren. But when I left MSNBC and I did that whole long spiel about why I left, Greta Van Susteren wrote on her blog, like, why did MSNBC let him do that whole spiel? That's ridiculous.
She wrote that?
Yeah. Because she didn't realize that I have an online show.
Yeah.
Like, TV's not the only thing that exists.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so in Comey's case, it's different though, because it is such a monumentally important and historic moment, mm-hmm. that you don't want to go in
guns blazing
and shooting from the hip, right? It's the FBI, so we don't mean it literally. Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's like a media thing and mm-hmm. it's TV or whatever, yeah, you're just getting fired in the background, mm-hmm. and I find out about it, I'd be like, all right, well, let's have fun. Okay, you want to talk? I'll tell you what's going on, right?
I feel like every day it's a challenge. Like, every day you're challenged to be an adult, right? Mm-hmm. Not just an adult. Every day you're challenged to take the classy route. And today I was listening to Bees in the Trap by Nicki Minaj. And
of course.
I love that song because the line that she uses over and over again is, bitches ain't shit because they ain't saying nothing. 100 motherfuckers can't tell me nothing, right? And like when she says that, it just like cuts to the core of me, because that's what I want to be. I just want to be like, fuck everyone. You know what I mean? Whenever there's injustice, right?
Yeah.
Especially in this industry, there's a lot of that. But then but every day it's like you have to think about the long game and you have to think about the classy route and like, oh, I'm so professional. But sometimes you just want to be like, no, I don't want to be professional because everything around me is bullshit right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And we're all civilized, right? Mm-hmm. But we're also animals. And mm-hmm. so we sometimes chafe at our, you know, civilized life, right? And we want to fucking break out and that's why people do stupid shit, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And like, look, sometimes it becomes violent, terrible, right? And that's why a lot of guys do sexual stuff, and it's so easy to catch them because mm-hmm. they're fucking animals, and everybody tells them be cool, and they're like, I want to do this, right?
Yeah.
And so it's that's real.
I've
right?
been reading a lot about Conor McGregor. Do you know who that is?
That's the MMA fighter.
Yeah, he's an MMA fighter, and he's bombastic, and he's got a huge ego, and part of that is being an MMA fighter, right? It's mm-hmm. like kind of it comes with the territory. But what I like about him is, first of all, he says he's going to do something and he does it. It's kind of miraculous, right? But secondly, like he's completely unleashed. Like And there's something so inspiring about that. You know, like I have some envy when it comes to that, because sometimes I feel like I'm holding back because I'm expected to hold back. And there's always consequences that certain people in the media have to deal with that other people in the media don't have to deal with. Yeah. You know?
Well, Anna, the funny thing is you say that, but almost everybody in the mainstream media that I talk to behind the scenes is envious of us because they think we're totally unleashed. I mean, when you compare us to the TV guys, I mean, remember what they said to me when I was on MSNBC? You have to stay within the box. They meant literally, like the box that I'm in here that you see. Like, don't wave your arms, you'll go outside the box. I'm like, who gives a shit? Yeah. They know that my arms still exist. Did they disappear? Is it magic? Are they gone? Did they get cut off? No, they're right here. Oh my God, you guys figured it out. Yeah. Okay. And so they and wear a tie, act like a senator, all that stuff. We are massively unleashed to them.
We are unleashed compared to other media types. Just that sometimes you run into, you know, some issues behind the scenes. And I'm not saying issues with TYT, everything's great with TYT. It's like, you know, partnerships, things like that, where just stuff happens and you wanna be like, I wanna out you and share the truth about who you really are, you know?
I know. So we're keeping it classy though.
Yeah. Not easy.
So by the way, like when we get into a fight, that's because we tried super, super, super hard not to get into one. Right? Like people sometimes will think like, oh yeah, you guys are just bombastic. No, no. If you only knew, okay, we're believe it or not, quite restrained. And McGregor is it's bullshit because I don't even believe it. Because since Muhammad Ali, every fighter is told to be bombastic and it's like
I
a
know.
Show.
It's part of it.
And,
I get that.
Yeah, and so like that's his job.
Yeah.
Is to be bombastic.
No, no, I get that.
And in fact, I don't know McGregor at all and I don't know what he's done and yada yada, but it's 9 out of 10 times in those things totally fake.
In MMA fighting though?
No, I don't mean the fight itself is fake. I mean like, oh yeah, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna do this, oh I'm such a tough guy, I'm the best of the best.
I know.
That guy might be enormously insecure, he's just doing that for the show.
No, I totally agree with you on that. But what the thing about him is he'll say something and then he does it. Like he wanted to be the welterweight, it's welterweight, right? And then also the other one that's above welterweight, I forget what it is. Sorry, I'm not an MMA expert. I'm just
really?
Like a little interested in this and I'm reading about it.
And, I don't know anything about it.
He wanted to get a belt in two different weight classes and people were like, you're insane, get out of here. He did it, right? There's this amazing YouTube video where it shows his what he says he's gonna do and then immediately follows it up with him doing it, right? There was another thing where he's like, I'm gonna fight this guy, I'm gonna do, I don't know, an uppercut, blah, 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 whatever he says, MMA terminology or phrasing. And then people are like, I mean, you're sharing your strategy, boy. Like, you're not, there's no way that this is gonna work. And then sure enough, he does exactly what he says he's gonna do. Same strategy, right? How did that other fighter not know that he's gonna do the thing that he said he was gonna do? Why did you not prepare for it? There was another one where he's like, this person's set to fight me, but he's not gonna fight me. I'm gonna end up fighting someone else and I'm gonna kick his ass. And that's exactly what happened. It's kind of amazing. Anyway, I think Conor McGregor is kind of a badass.
Kind of like a guy who says, I'm gonna start the largest online news show in the world for my living room, and they go, you're not gonna do that. And a guy who says, we're gonna primary all the corporate Democrats. They say, you're not gonna do that, okay? And the list goes on and on. Anyway, we'll see how it turns out. okay, let's get to the story. So real quick, Greta Van Susteren and I have a long history, and a lot of it is really good, okay? So. And I don't know how much of it she remembers. So her show is the first one I ever went on in TV. It's called Burden of Proof on CNN way back in the day, back in 95, I think. And that's the one that's in the movie Mad as Hell where I'm on with Johnny Cochran. And I'm the one who yells at him, he yells back at me, etc. Right? I once asked Greta if she remembered that when I was not as well known and I had run into her in one of the political conventions. And she basically, I think, did this. And I don't blame her. I mean, how would she remember that? Anyway, and then there was the MSNBC thing, and I'm not sure if she remembers what she wrote in her blog about that either. And again, I don't blame her. It's long life. She's had a billion people on her shows, etc. And then she was really good to me. Like, after the American Airlines debacle. I ran into her last year at the White House Correspondents' Weekend, and she was very nice. And she said, "Hey, you know, you were our hero." And I told you guys that in a different post game. And her husband was really nice to me. Mm-hmm. And then again, when we were on ABC's This Week together, where I made the Trump prediction, right? So then she was going to go to MSNBC, and I did a segment on it criticizing MSNBC because Greta Van Susteren, not the first person you hire if you're looking to build a progressive network.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so she got pissed at that. I get why, of course. That's her, you know, potential job on the line there, and she takes that as I'm insulting her after mm-hmm. she was nice to me, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why Jimmy Dore says, don't go to Washington.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because, and I felt bad doing it, but so why did I do it? Because that's my job. I'm supposed to tell you guys the news. And so even if I like Greta Van Susteren and she's been nice to me, I've got to point out that that is not the right direction for MSNBC to go. Mm-hmm. Now, I should actually be quiet about it because they're kind of competition. And
why are you giving them advice?
Yeah, they're committing Harry Caray right in front of us, right? In terms of their audience and driving progressives away. But I actually care about the country, and I want there to be a voice on television that is progressive, right? So I felt like I had to do that, and so she wrote something. I wrote back to her all in private, right, explaining that, and she never wrote back. And so I don't know if she thought. And I said, look, it's definitely not personal, and I appreciate the things that you said, but this is why I did it, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if she respected that or not. And I ran into her again this White House Correspondents Weekend, right? And first I saw her husband, and her husband gave me a death stare. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she looked at me and she was like, whatevs, right? Uh-huh. And then I don't know why, I hadn't been drinking, or maybe I had, but not much. And I was like, hey, good to see you, Gretchen.
Oh,
what the fuck, James?
Oh,
what the fuck,
man,
why did you?
Insult to injury, man.
Why did I say that? And I'm like, did I say? And then I walked away and they walked away from me, like angry faces. Right, and then I turned to the person who was next to me. I forget who it was. It was Praveen or whoever it was. And I was like, did I just call her Gretchen? And they're like, yeah, you did. I'm like, fuck, why did I do that? I don't know why that came out. Anyway, so it wasn't much of an interaction, but I maximized the awkwardness.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, so at least I have my answer. No, they're still pissed.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, I'm not mad at them for being pissed. I get why, mm-hmm. right? So that's the lumps we take. Okay. And then my awkward interaction with Brian Kilmeade. So last time we saw Brian Kilmeade, again last year at the same weekend, he's like, why do you guys beat up on me like that? and I love making fun of Brian Kilmeade. I love it. Okay, it's one of my favorite things in the world. And that's the one where Jimmy was like, see, that's why you don't meet them. That was the example. Don't meet Brian Kilmeade, you'll feel bad. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't feel bad about making fun of Brian Kilmeade. And I call Brian dead eyes, right? Because,
yeah,
you know, it's
rightfully so. Yeah.
Anyway, so I ran into him again, and we were so nice to each other. And I felt bad for all the things I said on air. And then I felt bad for you guys. That I felt like, am I being a phony by being nice to Brian Kilmeade in person, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm being a phony, because in person he's a fucking nice guy, right? He's kind of like, oh, okay, hey, how you guys doing? And mm-hmm. I was with Jordan, and Jordan used to work with Brian Kilmeade at Fox News.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so we had the chummiest conversation of all time, and I told him, and I'll tell you guys what I said to him, which is that, Brian, it turns out you're now one of the most powerful guys on earth, right? Mm-hmm. Because all Trump does is watch Fox and Friends and then repeat whatever Fox and Friends says. And I'm like, did you ever picture that happening? He's like, look at me. You think I pictured that? And he said somebody who had some Machiavellian theory about how they were doing a certain kind of jujitsu propaganda. He's like, you know I'm not capable of that. So then that's even more endearing because he's being self-effacing. And I'm like, kill me, get
no,
my nuggie.
Not buying it.
Not buying it, huh?
My response to him would be like, well, why are you a dick in general, right?
And you wonder why we don't bring Anna to cocktail
Can
parties.
I have to actually, I haven't shared this story at all, and I'm gonna share it right now because I think it's important. Look, when I was at a conference last year, take me to cocktail parties, I'll have fun.
Yeah, I'm just playing with you.
So I went to a conference last week called Collision. And last minute, they asked me to moderate a panel with two Silicon Valley entrepreneurs, okay, billionaires. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm a weird person to do this, but I'm very interested in, you know, discussing privacy issues and like, what is the responsibility of these entrepreneurs when their technology has unintended consequences? Is it their responsibility to right those wrongs, right? Anyway, so we go on with the panel, and I found out very quickly that these two guys have absolutely no interest in answering my questions. They have no interest in hearing what I have to say. I'm there to moderate. I'm there to ask them the questions. And instead, it's like a gigantic Silicon Valley circle jerk, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're using the panel as an infomercial to push their products. And at one point, I wanted to ask them that question about, you know, what responsibility does Silicon Valley have? And the fact that I challenged them even a tiny, 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 tiny bit offended them. Mm-hmm. Remember, these are billionaires with like a bunch of people constantly filleting them because, hey, they're billionaires and they might have opportunities for us. And oh my God, rich people are worshipped in the country. Anyway, at one point they just kept interrupting me, and I asked, can I just finish my question? Mm-hmm. And one of them was like, you need to listen before you get to ask a question.
Okay? Oh,
yeah.
Damn, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn, I didn't know they said that.
By the way, that video, we've shared it and everything. And that guy, his first name is Naveen, I forget his last name. Anyway, backstage, I'm sharing this because this is my interaction when there's a disagreement. Backstage, he comes up to me and he's like, I hope you didn't take that personal. This is just show business. And my response to him was, no, this is not show business. People paid money to come to this conference to be informed, not to hear your infomercial for your product. And I was like, I was the moderator. You need to answer my questions.
Damn.
And he like, and then he kept trying to make excuses. I kept talking over him because, you know, karma's a bitch, right? Uh-huh. And then I walked away. I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking let this guy sweet talk me. He treated me like I was a piece of shit on stage. And I think I handled it pretty gracefully. That was one example where I, you know, I wished I got all Conor McGregor up on his ass, right? Mm-hmm. But no, there's no, oh, but I'm a nice guy. No, go fuck yourself. You're not a nice guy. We know who you really are, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care how chummy you are in person. In reality, you're dick. And that's the case with Brian Kilmeade.
Okay, so now you know who the real badass is.
No, but I'm not a badass. I just hate, there's so much phony shit in this industry and I'm just tired of it. Like, I just want like genuine, sincere reactions to the news, sincere commentary. There's like fake cat fights going around everywhere. There's all this bullshit, right? That distracts from the actual news or the actual, you know, flaws in people's arguments. It's just the most frustrating thing in the world, right?
Here's my last thoughts on that.
Okay.
Anna Kasparian, the people's champion. Okay.
Please.
All right, guys, this is a good story.
Thanks.
I had not heard it. Tomorrow, kind of a big deal. Tune in at 6 o'clock Eastern. I mean, you guys are members, you can get it anytime, but be part of the fun, like, live announcement, okay? So it's gonna be kind of interesting. So check that out tomorrow. That's where we'll see you guys. Go.